To be really frank with you, I am about to preach one of the most complicated and difficult sermons that I have ever attempted to preach in my entire lifetime. It is complicated because the story which Sharon just read to you from the Bible is all about human relationships, the way various people interact with each other. And such relationships, as you all know, are often complicated because people tend to behave in irrational, that is, other than normal ways. And the sermon is difficult because it assumes as fact that which we categorically reject as illogical: demon possession. So let's start with the hard part. Let's deal up front with the question of demon possession. On the screen behind me will appear the basic question: can a demon, an utterly evil creature, totally beyond my control, infiltrate my life and take control of my thoughts and my actions? That's the basic question. Rationally, we and most of those who compose the society and culture in which we live want to yell no in response to that question. And yet we have all had moments. Moments when dark words, dark images, influences have come over us. You remember the moment when you screamed in the face of the object of your anger, "I could kill you!" And if you had not seized control of your mind and your action, you might have acted upon that evil impulse. What would have happened if you let those thoughts and those images have reign over your mind until you began to think that such behaviors were normal? And so you began to do wrong, harmful things, things that hurt you and things that hurt those around you, those whom you loved. Could you not conclude that your mind, your very soul, had been infiltrated by something other than yourself, that you had become possessed by an evil force beyond your control, what might well be called a demon? Well, that's what happened to the man Jesus met in the story that Sharon read to you today. That man had once been a productive member of his community. But over time, we don't know how long, it doesn't tell us, but over time, he began to think in strange ways. He came to the conclusion that it was okay to run around naked all day in front of everybody. He preferred to live in a graveyard instead of in his house. He would throw himself into the fire and cut himself. You could say that he lost his mind, that he was crazy. But the Bible simply looks beyond behind the behavior and points to the cause of it. His life had been infiltrated by an evil spirit. Now, I got to stop here for a minute because I got to tell you that if you look at people around you, you will see people who do strange, weird things. And we call them crazy because they are. But what causes the craziness? What's behind the issue? The Bible points to the cause behind the issue and says that they have been possessed, infiltrated by a spirit. That's what happens when your life is infiltrated by an evil spirit, by a demon, when it takes control of you. It causes you to reject reason and to do things which hurt you and which hurt other people. Things that you would never do if you were rational. And that brings me to the first relational points in this already complicated sermon. Number one, when people start behaving like what I've just described, they're playing with a demon. Now, they may not know that they are playing with a demon. They may think that they're behaving in perfectly logical ways. That guy living in those tombs thought it was the normal thing. That's what everybody did. Wasn't him. Them. Okay? He was inviting the infiltration. And that's what people do. When they start behaving like that, they are, in essence, playing with a spirit. They're inviting the spirit to invade their thinking and to take control of their life. Relational point number two, when you start messing with a demon, everybody around you, including you, gets hurt. The evil spirit will cause you to say things to people you love and to do that which will hurt yourself and then to hurt them too. Because the spirit doesn't care who it hurts, and it will drive you to buy that mindset. And number three, the man in the story did not know that he had been infiltrated by a demon. As I said to you, everything that he did made sense to him. His behavior was entirely understandable to him. He thought it was okay to run around naked all the time and to live in a tomb and to cut himself and to throw himself in fire. He thought it was not a problem. Everybody else was kooky, not him. And when that spirit gets control of your mind, when it infiltrates you, that's what you'll think. They're weird because they don't live like me. But along came Jesus. He immediately knew what was wrong with the man. Jesus looked right at the guy, and he knew that that man standing before him had been infiltrated by a spirit. And Jesus' desire was to set the man free from the spirit or spirits that lived in him. Jesus wanted to help the guy. He knew that you could not help the man in any other way but to deal with the root cause of his problem. I mean, you could treat him symptomatically, but it wasn't that part of my problem with what goes on in what's called counseling in our culture today is they treat symptomatically. Okay? They aren't really dealing with the root cause. They're not dealing with what's really gone on inside of you. They're just dealing with the symptoms on the surface. Okay? Jesus could have done that. He could have played Dr. Laura, because that's what she does. I listened to her yesterday. But Jesus wanted to help the man. And he knew there was no other way to help the guy than to go to the root cause of the problem. And so having discovered that the man was infiltrated with spirits, Jesus ordered the spirits to come out of the guy. Now, here are the relational points. You ready? Point number four, Jesus wants to help. Do you ever notice how people fight against help? I mean, sometimes you want to take a hammer and say, will you sit down and shut up so I can help you? Jesus is like that. We fight against the very help that God provides, Jesus. Point number five, Jesus went directly to the root cause. Do you ever notice how Jesus never messes around with you? Sometimes we wish he was a little less direct, don't we? Now, the Bible says, in the story that was read to you, the evil spirits knew who Jesus was. And they knew that Jesus had authority over them. They did not fully understand Jesus' intention. That's clear from the story. They think he wants to send them into the abyss. None of us know anything about the abyss. It doesn't appear in the scripture until Revelation chapter 9. But nonetheless, those spirits knew what it was, a place where you put spirits so they can't mess with people. And they're screaming to Jesus, don't send us there. Don't do that to us. Please don't do it to us. They knew that they had to do what he told them to do. And so they attempted to bargain with Jesus. Now, always like this, okay? I just want to tell you a little bit, okay? It ain't going to do you any good to bargain with Jesus, okay? Oh, please, don't send me to the abyss, Jesus. Oh, please, I'm so sorry. Okay, I won't do it again. They attempted to bargain with Jesus. Are you ready for the relational points? Number 6, spirits know Jesus. They know Jesus better than you know Jesus. All he's got to do is speak to them and they start to tremble. They know Jesus. Point number 7, spirits must obey his voice. The wind and the waves, remember last week? Obey his voice. So do evil spirits. They must listen to Jesus. That's why they're afraid of him. Relational point number 8. Spirits never play all or nothing. They will bargain for what they can get. They want to cut a deal. Hey, you can be my buddy and Jesus' buddy too. We just won't tell him. When you're not in church, he can't see what you're up to. Don't worry about it. Just don't mention it. If you put the Bible out on your coffee table when the pastor's coming, you can still let me possess your life when he goes away. They don't play all or nothing. They'll take what they get because once they get their foot in the door, their foot's in the door, and they'll keep driving until more and more of them are in there. That's what happened in the story. They came one at a time, but they were legion. They will bargain. They never want to let go entirely. See, the question here is authority. Had that man given those demons permission to remain in control of his life, they would have laughed in Jesus' face and stayed. Because God gave him the right, the free will, to be who he wants to be. And if he wanted to choose spirits, he can have them. But he can't have them and Jesus too. And the spirits quaked because they knew the man wanted to be free. And they knew Jesus had the authority to set him free. So in the story, when Jesus speaks, the evil spirits obey his voice. They left the man and they entered a herd of pigs. The pigs were overwrought by the spirits. They ran down a hill into the sea and they drowned. Now weigh this one out with me, okay? Pigs, the man. Which one is of greater value? But the story says that the owners of the pigs were upset. To them, the pigs were more valuable than the man. Oh my, we do get attached to our stuff, don't we? They objected to what Jesus had done. They were so upset that Jesus did a good thing and set that man free from that evil spirit that they asked him to leave. Go away. Not bother them anymore. Because the whole cotton picking thing made them uncomfortable. They didn't want to think about being infiltrated by evil spirits. And that gave those spirits power. Because by taking control of the minds of the people of that culture, they were able to drive Jesus away. You want me to get really, really pointed here? That is exactly what's going on in our culture today. Spirits are working on the minds of people so that Jesus is no longer popular among us. Because then the spirits can take control. That's relational point number 9. Jesus is not popular with culture. Can I be really honest with you? We like the demons better. Because they promise us the stuff we want. They make us believe that we can do what we want. They make us think that the rest of the world is crazy if they behave in crazy, immoral ways, that we don't need to discipline our lives, that we can indeed do anything we want because we am us. It's because he talks about things. Jesus talks about things like being infiltrated by evil spirits to people who do not like the notion, even in the church. It is because he challenges our attachment to our stuff over our love for people. It is because the culture itself has been infiltrated with evil spirits and has come to believe that there is no such thing as an evil spirit. Ask them. But there is. And the things they mess up most are relationships. Relationships with other people, because they cause us to do and say things which hurt those we love. And relationships with Jesus. They cause us to say to him, "Oh, please, go." Will you stand and prepare to come to the Lord's table?